Welcome to the Valleybrook Community Church podcast, and thank you for joining us online today. You're about to hear a message from our current series, I Am Jesus. In this series, we are learning some of the different ways Jesus is represented in the Bible as the resurrection and the life, as the good shepherd, as the light of the world, and as the vine. To watch any of our previous messages or find all listening platforms, we encourage you to visit www.valleybrook.cc/on-demand. Enjoy!
Good morning, everybody. We're going to start off our morning reading from a longer passage of Scripture. And so we're going to be reading from a passage in Ezekiel. It's chapter 34. If you're an auditory learner, as I speak this out, enjoy listening. Contemplate the words. If you're more a visual learner or you kind of like the mix of both, we're going to have the words behind me up on the screen. These are the words from the prophet Ezekiel. A message that he received from God as a warning to the leaders in Israel, to the people guiding this people, but also of hope for the future who were directionless, for those who were fearful and worried. This passage was written a few thousand years ago, but it's going to be essential to what we're talking about today and something that I believe would be wildly beneficial for each and every single one of us to contemplate. Little note before we go into this, as he's speaking to the leaders, he calls them shepherds. So as he uses these shepherd analogies, I want you guys to remember as you're hearing this, he's speaking about leaders and guides, religious leaders and political leaders. And so as he starts to talk about these different things that shepherds would do, allow your mind to start to consider, what does that mean for leaders? What does that mean for these people? So here's the passage. Take this and consider it. It's going to be heated. Ezekiel 34. It says, "Then this message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds, the leaders of Israel. Give them this message from the sovereign Lord. What sorrow awaits you, shepherd, who feed yourselves instead of your flocks? Shouldn't shepherds feed their sheep? You drink the milk and wear the wool, and you butcher the best animals, but you let your flocks starve. You have not taken care of the weak. You have not tended the sick or bound up the injured. You have not gone looking for those who have wandered away and are lost. Instead, you have ruled them with harshness and cruelty. So my sheep have been scattered without a shepherd, and they are easy prey for any wild animal. They have wandered through all the mountains and the hills across the face of the earth, yet no one has gone to search for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, says the sovereign God, you abandoned my flock and left them to be attacked by every wild animal. And though you were my shepherds, you didn't search for my sheep when they were lost. You took care of yourselves and left the sheep to starve. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I now consider these shepherds my enemies, and I will hold them responsible for what has happened to my flock. I will take away their right to feed the flock, and I will stop them from feeding themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths. The sheep will no longer be their prey. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search and find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. I will feed my sheep and rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on that dark and cloudy day. I will bring them back home to their land of Israel from among the peoples and nations. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and by the rivers and in all the places where people live. Yes, I will give them good pasture land and on high hills of Israel. There they will lie down in pleasant places and feed in the lush pastures of the hills. I myself will tend my sheep and give them a place to lie down in peace, says the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost ones who strayed away, and I will bring them home again. I will bandage the injured and strengthen the weak, but I will destroy the fat and the powerful. I will feed them, yes, feed them justice. As for you, my flock, this is what the sovereign Lord says to his people. I will judge between one animal of the flock and another, separating the sheep from the goats. Isn't it enough for you to keep the best of the pastures for yourselves? Must you also trample down the rest? Isn't it enough for you to drink clear water for yourselves? Must you also muddy the rest with your feet? Why must my flock eat what you have trampled down and drink from where you have fouled? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will surely judge between the fat sheep and the scrawny sheep. For you fat sheep pushed and butted and crowded my sick and hungry flocks until you scattered them to distant lands. So I will rescue my flock and they will no longer be abused. I will judge between one animal of the flock and another. I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David. He will feed them and be a shepherd to them. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be a prince among my people. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with my family and drive away the dangerous animals of the land. Then they will be able to camp safely in the wildest places and sleep in the woods without fear. I will bless my people and their homes around my holy hill, and in the proper season I will send the showers they need. There will be showers of blessings. The orchards and the fields of my people will yield bumper crops, and everyone will live in safety. When I have broken their chains of slavery and rescued them from those who have enslaved them, then they will know that I am the Lord. They will no longer be prey for other nations, and wild animals will no longer devour them. They will live in safety, and no one will frighten them. And I will make their land famous for its crops, so my people will never again suffer from famines or from the insults of foreign nations. In this way, they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them. And they will know that they, the people of Israel, are my people, says the sovereign Lord. You are my flock, the sheep of my pasture. You are my people, and I am your God. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken. Mic drop. Good morning, Valley Brook. Did you guys feel that at all? Whew. Does there even really need to be anything else said after that? I was telling Pat and a couple other people on staff, the hardest part about my job in communicating this to you guys is thinking about something to say after all of that. What in the world do you say after all of that other than amen? Amen. My name is Brian Rooney. I'm on the pastoral staff here if we haven't met before. If you're new here to Valley Brook, we are a people dedicated to loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. We are committed to these two things because Jesus promised if you do these two things, you will change the world. So that is our mission here. The last few weeks, we've been talking about Jesus' identity statements, statements that Jesus has been making about himself. We here in the West are no strangers to identity statements, and Jesus makes a lot of them. He makes a lot of statements about what he says about himself, and he answers this question, who are you? It leads us to ask the question, well, who is Jesus? Have you ever asked that question before? Like, really, like, sat down and thought, who is Jesus? It's one of the most important questions we think a person can ask in life. You know, there's in recent years, there's a bit of neuroscience that's been coming out and exploring the different parts of our brain that we use when we ask certain questions or do certain thinking. We used to think that the brain was in these two parts. One was your logical side, and the other side was your creative side. But it's actually a little bit more nuanced than that. In recent years, what we've learned is that the left side of your brain is your what side and your how side. It's your task-oriented side of your brain, the do's and the hows of life. Your right side is your meaning, your transcendence, the area where you experience joy. It's your why side. You have your what and your how side and your why side. The right side engages the questions and that are about why, the deeper meaning, where you experience beauty and transcendence. We need both. But many of us live in what, most of us live in the what and the how side, and oftentimes there's not many areas of our life that force us into the right side, the why side. The question of who is Jesus is a why question. Because when you sit down and ask that question, you go, who is Jesus? The follow-up to that question is, well, why does that matter? Who is Jesus? Why is that important that we ask this question? So here's an invitation we want to give to you guys. This is your homework at the beginning. We'll just jump right to it. We're going to invite you guys to take about 15 minutes this week away from the distractions, away from the phones, hopefully outside, the weather's nice, and just sit in the boredom of sitting by yourself for 15 minutes and ask this question, who is Jesus? Engage that right side of your brain, the why, the meaning part of your brain. Peer into the boredom and the discomfort of sitting with nothing to do and just ask yourself that question. You will be curious and you'll be shocked at what your brain comes up with. You'll be shocked to see it. Honestly, in my time in working in ministry, but also with chatting, I asked a couple of pastors this before I talked about this today. I don't think I've ever encountered a single person who took moments out of their life to ask that question and ever regretted doing it, whether you're Christian or not. To ask that question, who is Jesus? No one has ever left going, waste of my time. Try it out. Even if you feel like you know the answer, consider what it could mean. Slow down. One of the reasons why we think it's important to look at identity statements that Jesus makes about himself is because he wasn't just speaking into a vacuum. He wasn't just making these bold claims just out of the blue. He was speaking to a very particular group of people who were waiting for a very particular thing to occur, for a very particular person to come. And this people group, that they were, this person to come that they were waiting for, it is an event that would change everything for them. Everything would change waiting for this event to occur. Their expectation of that moment is where they placed their stability, their hope. It was something that in the middle of suffering or uncertainty and fear, they looked to that end destination and it gave them a promise and they found stability and direction. Knowing that this was going to occur in the face of adversity, they said, I know where we're going to go. Even though the right now is difficult, I know it's going to end up okay. Maybe not for me in the moment. Doesn't mean everything's going to be fine. But they know that in the end, this thing will occur, this promise will occur, and it will be made right. That is where they place their hope, their security, and their stability as a nation. So when Jesus speaks about who he is, he isn't just making small or random claims. He's making bold and weighty statements directly connected to this thing these people had as a lifeline. Directly connecting to what these people have built their lives and hopes on. He's stepping into the very thing they were waiting for. Before I go on, I want to ask you this question. Where do you put your hope? Where do you rest your stability? When things go wrong or feel uncertain, where do you turn to? When the future feels unclear and the fear starts to creep in, where do you go? Do you look to a person, a leader, to lead you out of it? Do you look to your resources? Do you know how many times I've heard, oh, I'm going to be okay. I have a bunker of a bunch of, you know, oatmeal and weapons down in my basement. I'll be fine. Do you trust in your resources? If things fall apart, do you feel like you'll be okay because of the stuff you've stored up? Be honest. What calms your fears? Here's something worth doing this week. Because I've already asked you to take a little bit of time to question who is Jesus. I'm going to give you another question to add in onto that. Where do you find stability when life feels uncertain? Where is your hope placed? You know, there's something that we would do in therapy, in counseling. One of the things we would do is ask people to track their thoughts and emotions over the course of a few weeks. We would do this because there's really nothing in life that prompts people to do this on their own. And so what we do is we ask people to do this over the course of a few weeks, and then we look back at it and we go, oh my goodness, I didn't know this is something that I think about pretty frequently. We don't always notice our patterns, but when you slow down and pay attention, you begin to see what you truly rely on. You ever done this with your hope? Considered when life gets tight, when prices go up, when war breaks out, where do you turn to? What thoughts go through your head? And where do you feel will save you? What do you think is going to save you? From the very beginning, the people of Israel, their hope was this, that God's kingdom would come. That was their hope. That down the road, eventually, that God's perfect kingdom would be established on earth, and that his people would live in it and be safe. That God would set things right in the world. The pain and the uncertainty and danger of the world would all be undone, and we would be replaced with abundance, stability, and peace. This is what we call the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus walks around saying the kingdom of heaven is near, this is what he's referring to. Not just a place far off. Sometimes we think it's far off. He's talking about what is going to come here. That the kingdom on earth will be restored. But as the world grew darker, people asked, where is that world? Where is that kingdom? Their picture of it was this picture in the Garden of Eden, if you're familiar with the beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapters 1 through 3. This perfect place of safety and provision and a deep relationship with God where people learned from him and thrived. It's a place where God's presence was central and where humanity lived in peace, purpose, and abundance. So they wondered, where was it? So God made a promise that he would restore it one day. That through his people, his family, he gave them a job, not because they were better, but because they were willing and available, that he gave them this promise, and he said, my kingdom will come and will fill the earth through you. There were people marked by learning from God and his wisdom, his presence, and his care for all people, that eventually that would cover the whole earth. But the problem is that kingdom never really took off. The leaders who were supposed to be guiding these people into this kingdom of stability and love where everybody is cared for, the foreigner, the widow, the orphan, the stranger, it didn't really take off. Their leaders became focused on their idols. They became greedy, leading people in their pursuit of power, wealth, and control. They became selfish and corrupt. Instead of bringing light to the world, they added more darkness. You could see this in our Old Testament. These leaders placed the idols of money, power, pleasure, and reputation in the place where only God should live. You know what's interesting? Those are the same idols we struggle with every single day, but back then they just gave them names. They just named them as different gods, but they're the same idols we have today. We just don't name them. Same gods, same idols. So the people were wondering, well, when is this all going to be fixed and who's going to lead us the right way? If our leaders are not going to do it, who's going to do it? So that's when the prophets come in, a group of people that was sent by God to confront Israel's leaders to tell them that they need to change their ways. He refers to them as shepherds. This was a livestock-based culture and community, and so calling people shepherds as an analogy for leadership was something very common for them. So they understood this. It was very normal. And so God says in this passage we just read at the beginning, he goes, you failed. You've led my people astray, so I'm going to step in. I'm going to do it myself. It's so like God, by the way. He's like, you're not doing it. All right, I'm going to do it. So God promises, I will search for my sheep. I will rescue them. I will lead them. I will be their shepherd. That became their hope, that God himself would come and lead them and restore everything. That he would send a true king. He calls it the new David, a king that was fully aligned on God's wisdom, that it was going to look like him and they were going to guide them the right way. So they were looking for a savior, a king, a shepherd who would not fail them. And so Jesus shows up and he goes, hey, that shepherd you've been waiting for, that king that you've been looking for, who's going to lead you into the kingdom of heaven, guess what? It's me. I'm going to lead you. So this statement that Jesus is making, that's the claim. It's bold. This isn't just a thing you tweet. This is a bold statement. We're going to read it here. It's in John 10. Says, I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold, he's using the shepherd language, rather than going through the gate, must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice, and they come out to him. He has called his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely, and they will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him. He isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my sheep, my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too. They're not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. My Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so that I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. Jesus, in essence, is saying these so-called leaders, these shepherds, they're not leading you to the kingdom. They're sinful people looking out for themselves, looking to steal, kill, destroy, take for themselves, to feed themselves, as we heard about in the prophet's message. Jesus is saying, not me. I'll lead you there. I will get you there. He says that he will be the one that follows God's wisdom. You know why? It's his own wisdom. He's taking his own advice. God said, I will lead you. So he shows up and he says, I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. Because I know this is best for my people. He is the king, God in the flesh, and he is fulfilling the promise to lead his people and be their guide. When trouble arises, Jesus will save you. All of the other leaders, public officials, and guides people follow, they can only lead you so far. But when trouble arises, they will use their wisdom that will not lead to the destination of the kingdom. Not the king. He will lead you. And he will give his life for you. Why should you follow Jesus? Because he is God in the flesh, willing to die for you. Not only that, he says that even if he lays his life down, even if someone was to use the weapon of death against him, he has the authority to take it back. And he proved that. It's the whole reason we're here. Jesus said this and said, I'm going to show you. And then he laid down his life for those he loved. And then he rose again, defeating the power of death. This is why we're talking about this in the Easter season, because it is living proof that Jesus is exactly who he said that he was. And the world has never looked the same because of it. He proved on the cross that he is exactly who he says he is. And he is calling all of us to hope and to wait on him and follow him because he is the good shepherd. When you need guidance and direction, let Jesus lead you. Let the good shepherd lead you. This is the hope of those who follow God, that our God is a king stronger than death. And we find hope that through this king's wisdom and leadership, we will find the stability and abundance of the kingdom of God. Jesus will take us there. He is the only one who can take us there. Jesus calls himself the gate, meaning that you cannot get to the kingdom of heaven some other way. If you try some other way to get to the kingdom of heaven, the abundance and love and peace that God promises, if you try to go in through another way, you're not going in through the king and you're not going to make it there. You're doing it out of selfish desire. There are a lot of leaders in Jesus' day, and honestly, in our day too, who are hoping and promising in what God has promised for us, but they're taking other routes to get there. They're saying, this is the way we're going to get to the kingdom. We're going to use this wisdom to get to the kingdom. Leaders in Jesus' day and our own day, they use weapons of the nations to try to get to God's victorious promise. They use violence, wars, political schemes, and aggression. They choose power over peace, control over surrender, revolution over redemption. We see this even in our own, like on our news. Some of you guys have seen this on your social media feeds. People claiming that they know the way to get to God's promise, that they have the tools to get there. Jesus says, no, 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 it's me. If you try to go any other way, you're not gonna make it. You have to go in through the gate. Jesus is the portal to the kingdom of heaven. If you go some other way, you're not gonna make it. Someone promises you another way to get to that stability, you're not going to make it. Our shepherd, King Jesus, his disciples know his voice. He talks about the voice of the shepherd. Do you know why? Because there's going to be a lot of people sounding like they're shepherds who will try to lead you and lead us down different paths. How can we tell who the good shepherd is? How can we tell what the way is? Some people use scripture. The devil even tried to tempt Jesus using scripture. So we know people can use it to try to lead people astray. How do we know the difference between someone that's using scripture to get us some way and the king's voice? You know his voice. They recognize his voice. In moments like that, we need to trust the voice of our shepherd. How do you recognize the voice of our shepherd over the voices of the world? By listening to him, by learning from him, by contemplating what he has taught us, waiting for him in prayer, contemplating his wisdom and his teachings. When you do this, you begin to realize and recognize the person behind it all. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is a person. When you start to encounter it, you start to see the person behind it. It's not just something to believe, it's a person to connect with. And when you connect with it, I'm telling you guys, when you connect with this and you start to recognize the voice of the shepherd, you can tell a mile away when someone's trying to mess with you, when somebody else is trying to claim that they're the one. Have you ever seen sheep when somebody else tries to speak to them? This is literally an actual analogy with sheep. There's videos online, I highly recommend checking it out, where people will come up and yell at sheep and ask them to come to them, and they will completely ignore them. And then the shepherd walks over, says one word, and every head turns. He's built it into literally the biology of sheep to help you guys see the point. Do you know the voice of your shepherd? That voice will lead you to the kingdom of heaven. No other voice will. No other person will. Whether they claim to be using the Bible or not, that's the hardest part. That's difficult for us. So the question we have to ask is, whose voice do we follow? Because you're following somebody's. We're being led by somebody. Something or someone is shaping our directions, calming our fears, or giving us a feeling of control in those moments of uncertainty. But here's the thing. Every other shepherd will fail you when it matters most. Your money won't save you. Your plans won't hold everything together. The world's systems may not even give you the security that they promise. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I'll lead you there. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. He's not just a guide. He's not just a teacher. He's not just a leader. He is God, our King and our provider. The shepherd who sees the wolf coming, instead of running, he lays down his life for the sheep, and then he does something no one else can do. He takes his life back. He's victorious over the power of death. There is nothing, not even death, that can take you out of the care and love and abundance and stability of God. You don't need to be afraid of it. He's already won. Remember these questions. Who is Jesus? Where do you put your hope? And do I trust Jesus or recognize his voice enough to follow him? Those are the questions we want you to ask this week. If you're new here to Valley Brook, we're dedicated to following the voice of our shepherd. We believe that he will take us out of this darkness into the kingdom of heaven. If you're here and you want to be a part of that, if you are looking for a stability that will actually save you, follow the King. Jesus' message that he went around village to village, town to town, sharing. The gospel of Jesus Christ is this. It's from the Gospel of Mark. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Turn from the wisdom and the ways you once learned and turn to the King. He is leading people and he is inviting you to remove the ways that you used to do things, the leaders you used to follow, the idols you used to place in the position of God alone. And he's saying, come and do it with me. I hope every single one of you makes that decision. In your time of prayer this week, consider following the King. When you ask that question, who is Jesus? When you look at where do you currently place your hope, consider, do I trust Jesus' voice enough to put those things down and follow him instead? If you do, you've joined us as followers of the King. Follow him with us. We here at Valley Brook believe you cannot do that alone. Jesus' kingdom is a one another kingdom. We cannot do it alone. If you make that decision today or sometime this week, tell us. Join us. It's the greatest decision you could ever make. Let us walk with you, bearing one another's burdens until we reach the kingdom of heaven. It'll be great. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son. Lord, thank you for looking out into the world and seeing the darkness, the pain, leaders who claim to follow you, who turn their backs on their people for selfish ambitions. Thank you for seeing that and saying, I've had enough. And coming as Jesus to save us and rescue us. Lord, I pray that we all may follow you, that we all can follow your voice, recognize your voice, and follow you into the abundance of the kingdom of heaven when it comes. It is here, but it is coming. Lord, we hope in that future that gets us through the uncertainty. Thank you, God, for being our shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us at Valley Brook as we engage in this series. To learn more about the life of our church and how you can get involved, visit www.valleybrook.cc. If you're interested in contributing financially to Valley Brook and to our ministry, you can do so at valleybrook.cc/give. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message blesses you and encourages you to love God, love people, and change the world.